while sorting through a box of papers that we were given when we helped to clear someone's house, I came across this insert, which is taken from the Christadelphian magazine from 1984. It's an editorial entitled Peaceful Picketing at the Bible Exhibition. And it is quite interesting reading. It says, in connection with the Birmingham Bible Campaign, a West Midlands Ecclesia held the Bible Exhibition in the local civic hall during the week beginning June the 4th. Carefully planned and prepared for over a period of 12 months, the event proved a source of stimulus and encouragement for the Ecclesia concerned, who had the added satisfaction of seeing a good deal of interest shown of very high quality. Some visitors amongst them, one or two young people, came more than once, and much profitable discussion took place. A detailed report is being prepared for publication in next month's magazine, but mention may be made here, however, of an incident which has several salutary lessons for us all. A local Pentecostal church had been campaigning in the town over a period and decided to picket the Bible exhibition. Armed with a leaflet against the Christadelphians, which we understand had been prepared by a former Christadelphian, especially for their use, they accosted visitors at the entrance to the exhibition hall. The first reaction of our brethren and sisters was naturally to consider what steps could be taken to counteract the move, which it seemed could only damage the cause for which they'd worked so long. In the event, no official notice was taken of the intrusion, although several managed to have private but courteous discussions with the pickets. The opportunity was taken to point out one or two serious errors in the leaflet, as a result of which one of the distributors withdrew on the first day and was not seen again. As the weather was wet and cold, the sisters took pity on the rest and plied them with cups of coffee, and they were also invited to shelter in the vestibule, or even better, to view the exhibition until the weather improved. This showing forth of the Spirit of Christ in the true biblical sense of that expression turned out to be a powerful testimony in itself, which impressed both the pickets and the caretaker of the civic hall. On the second day, the caretaker approached the Pentecostal campaigners and said something to this effect. I have no personal axe to grind, since I know nothing about the issues involved between you, but I think you should go away and leave these people alone. I'm sure they would not do to you what you're doing to them, and attempted to turn people away from their exhibition. You've used this hall several times during your campaign, without suffering any disturbance. Your behaviour is exactly the sort of thing which makes people lose respect for the churches and for those who profess Christianity. The remark evidently went deep, since the leaflet distributors all left, and the week continued without further incident of this kind. It is right to contend earnestly for the faith, but it's never right to preach Christ of contention, nor, however natural the reaction may be from a human point of view, to adopt the methods of worldly disputants, which generate more heat than light. The preaching of the truth and the witnessing against error must be accompanied by the evidence that the truth is true for us, in that it produces the fruit of the Spirit in every aspect of our life and conduct. The witness of the life in Christ can be a more powerful witness to the truth, as it is in Jesus, than we may think. So that's a lovely example, really, of how meeting anger with kindness and providing a soft answer and avoiding argument is a better way of preaching than arguing with people. Brother Bob Lloyd has a meditation on a similar theme. It's called The Lord's Servant Must Not Quarrel. He says in his book, Minute Meditations, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone. Constant kindness can accomplish much, said Albert Schweitzer. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness causes misunderstanding, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate. At a time when we're facing opposition within our family, in our ecclesia, or in our brotherhood, it's wise to remember to be kind. When we believe that our position on a matter is being challenged, we may rise to the defence by speaking in a manner more forthright than kind. Sometimes we may say things we wish we could take back. It's even possible to be correct in the position we've taken and yet still in the way in which we treat those who oppose us. Don't we have an obligation to speak the truth, to show people where they're going wrong? It is quite right to stand up for what we believe, but we should do so with kindness. Paul gives us good advice as to how to handle those who oppose us. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. We need to try to work with those who disagree with us by teaching them gently, as Paul says. We need to help them to a clearer understanding because we care for them and we want them to be saved. We all need the wisdom of Solomon, and sadly we do not have it as we ought. He tells us, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. We can be ever so sincere in standing up for what we believe, but if we crush others rather than working to heal them, we're not doing right. We all know how sincere Saul of Tarsus was as he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Although the Lord may not strike us down or speak to us from heaven as he did to Saul, we still need to let the inspired word touch our hearts and cause us to stop and consider our ways. No one was more sincere than Saul, but no one was ever more wrong. He was not ignorant of the Old Testament writings. He'd been taught at the feet of Gamaliel, and yet he did not understand the purpose of God in Christ. He thought that eliminating Christians would be pleasing to God. Isaiah warned Israel, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for my name's sake, have said, Let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But it is they that shall be put to shame." Those in Isaiah's day who thought that they were glorifying God by casting out some of their brethren, those who thought that their actions were in God's name, were wrong, and they were going to be put to shame. We need to realise that there is a danger that we can think we're acting on God's behalf when we're not. Solomon tells us, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." Most folks think they're right. And since it's possible to be completely sincere and still be sincerely wrong, we need to be kind and gentle with those whom we consider wrong. Brian Tracy has said, "You will regret many things in life, but you will never regret being too kind or too fair." Gently instructing those who oppose us, working together to gain a better understanding of the issues that divide us, and giving differing opinions a fair hearing is a kind and fair process. More than that, it's a process that helps all parties, including ourselves, gain a better understanding. After a careful analysis, we may find to our surprise, as Paul did, that some of our viewpoints are not entirely correct. Jesus teaches us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We all want peace in our family, and we want peace in our ecclesia, and in the brotherhood. The Lord ponders our heart. He knows all that's going on in our lives, and there's no doubt at all that he tests us by arranging circumstances to see if we are kind and gentle and easy to be entreated in our dealings with others, even when under stress. Whatever we do must be done in such a way as not to sow discord, for again it is Solomon who tells us, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven that are an abomination unto him." And the seventh item Solomon lists is he that soweth discord among brethren. Sowing discord is not spelled out in our statement of faith, but it is plainly something that the Lord hates, and we'd better be careful that we are peacemakers and not stirring up strife in our dealings with others. Let us always remember Paul's admonition, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you."